Poet Lightsey Darst found inspiration for her new book from many and varied sources. She used the Zodiac, Dante, the Guinness Book of World Records, and Vogue magazine. We had Lightsey Darst on the program this summer. She was a journalist covering the American Dance Festival for Huffington Post. Now she's back to talk about her poetry. Her new book is called Dance, and she's reading Thursday night at the Regulator Bookshop in Durham, 7 o'clock. But with us here now, Lightsey Darst. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So if you write as a critic, do you go to a different place in your mind when you write as a poet?
Oh, definitely. When I'm writing as a critic, I have a real responsibility to the work that I've seen, and I really need to try to put my own aesthetic aside in trying to see what that work wants to do and wants to be. But when I write as a poet, I am writing to please my own aesthetic sense. I'm really trying to write something that I want to read.
There's a vision also, or is there a kind of truth that you hew to as an artist, as a poet, or is it just something that's going to sound and look good, which would be perfectly acceptable as a poet, I guess?
I think I'm uncomfortable with the word truth, but vision I think I can go with. I think the reason that I'm a poet is that my vision starts very small. So it starts at the level of a word. You know, it's a very built-up vision from very tiny little elements. So I'm not like a novelist where I have kind of a grand scheme or an architectural vision. But yes, I think there are things that I feel my way towards that are the, again, truths is such an uncomfortable word, but that are the visions of the moment that are happening for me.
The vision that inspires this work is a kinetic vision. It is the art of dance captured in word. Is that what you're trying to capture, that sort of energy in these poems?
Yes. I think that there are a few main reference for this book. And I chose the title Dance not because the book is specifically about dance, the art form, but because the book is very much about the metaphor of dance that occurs practically across the globe, this metaphor of dance as being the way to be in flow with life and death. And this very common character that you see across iconographies of this dancing figure with one foot on the ground and one foot in the air. So there was that. And then, you know, I'm a dance critic and I spend a lot of time with dancers and choreographers. And I was really inspired by how I've seen choreographers make work. And I wanted to make a book of poetry the same way. So it's very much, the methods are very much inspired by dance.
This idea of life in flow is interesting, especially how it's in the way that it's represented in dance. I mean, where the dancer was, where they're going, all of that space, not only the space they occupy, but where they were and where they're headed. And now, if you're watching critically, all the places they could go and don't go, all that comes into play and really becomes fertile ground for the imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that there's an amazing courage in the best dancers, that they are just willing to not know what's coming next. And they know, you know, they know what their next step is. I don't mean that they're improvising on the level of creating the next step, but they don't know exactly where they're going to be when they get there. They don't know exactly how they're going to make that transition. They have this great facility to be in the moment and to really make these decisions on the spur of the moment.
Will you read for us?
Sure. I'm going to read a poem that's called Central Heat. That arm extended, raveling clockwise, a balance bar. Something grows out of nothing. Hate a center, depart from a center, abandon an empty center. It violates our private space and the one place we think of as our sanctuary. Lift your animal head. Drink of, always this unfastening. Our wish clears out, leaving space for heaven, but not heaven. We were there once, naming, clawing ourselves. An element like arrows or rainwater shatters off your arm. Fractured, not cut diamond is star sapphire built around a flaw. Some home invaders might have walked in your house before, saw themselves in your mirrors. Some even claim it's a rush, that hush before you hurt or save, suddenly sure of where you stand.
Lightsey Darst reading from her latest collection of poems called Dance, and she will be at the Regulator Bookshop in Durham on Thursday night at 7 o'clock and with us here now. Heaven and hell and all that's in between plays an important part. This is Dante's contribution, I guess, to your work, huh?
Yes, and it's funny because that kind of came backwards. I realized at some point that I was writing a hell, earth, paradise triptych, and then I had to go to Dante and see, you know.
Oh, this has been done before.
Right. How is this supposed to work, or how has this worked in the past? Yeah, it was really interesting to consult Dante and see what his version was, because his paradise is famously boring. And, you know, I think that I don't want to, like, stack myself up against Dante here because he's fantastic.
Well, he wrote in Italian, so you're fine.
Right, right.
Nobody will compare you.
Totally different. But I wanted to do a paradise that was actually secular and was in the moment and was not divorced from Earth. And I wanted to create a paradise that actually enacts happiness instead of describing a perfect state.
Now, famously, of course, the comedy is a triptych, and it is an epic in a way. But you started out by saying you don't think that way. You start from the granular level. Do you see this as part of an epic, or is that simply not the way you work?
I feel like you've caught me now, because I have to admit, early on when I was writing this book, I thought, this is my second book, and I don't have any children. And I thought, okay, I'm going to write my big book now. Because, you know, who knows what the future holds. And this is a very, there's a lot in this book. There's a lot that I packed in here. And yeah, I did kind of intentionally make a big scope here. It's very different from what I'm working on now, for example.
A lot in here, including a man who appears to be having a baby based on a kind of a news story that you saw.
Right. I drew a lot of inspiration from trolling the internet for strange things. In part because I noticed that lots of people are doing this. They're just constantly on the internet looking for things. And I thought, what are we looking for? What is this hunt for meaning and for connection so far away from home? It was really fascinating to me how people are kind of incessantly looking for news on the internet and incessantly trying to connect to these people they've never met.
What were you looking for?
I think to some extent it's really hard for me to understand that worldview, that desire to connect to something really far from you. I think my nature is local. And so I was really curious about this. You know, what are people doing when they're reading news about things that happen all the way around the world and don't include anyone they know? And so I was just really curious about that desire.
Did those strange stories connect with you immediately, or did you rest with them for a while and try to find a connection to something that seemed pretty obscure and weird?
I would collect them, and then I would see what jumped out at me. Yeah.
It's great stuff, Darcy. Lightsey, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Lightsey Darst's new book is called Dance. She's going to be at the Regulator Thursday night in Durham. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things, a program produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wen. Bryson Russell's the intern. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf, the news director. And this is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.